Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today, we're diving into Vertex Pharmaceuticals' second quarter 2026 results, and there's a lot going on. Strong numbers, a major acquisition, and pipeline news across four disease areas. Before we get into it, quick disclaimer: this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
All right, Alex, let's start with the headline numbers because they're pretty solid.
Yeah, Vertex posted $3.3 billion in total revenue for second quarter, up 12% year-over-year. That's driven largely by the cystic fibrosis franchise, which grew 11%, but also some real acceleration from the newer products.
Right. And this is the part one find genuinely interesting. Casgevy, their gene therapy for sickle cell disease and beta thalassemia, brought in $76 million this quarter. That's roughly 75% sequential growth and over 150% year-over-year. They had more infusions in the first half of 2026 than in all of 2025 combined.
That's a huge inflection point. And it's not slowing down either. They had over 100 patient initiations for a third straight quarter, plus a pediatric approval for ages 2 to 11 that came through in just 53 days post-filing.
Then there's Jurnavx, their non-opioid pain drug, at $50 million in revenue, about 70% sequential growth. The prescription numbers are climbing fast too, roughly 535,000 scripts this quarter. But here's the nuance. Gross-to-net is still messy because of a patient support program covering people whose insurance has restrictions like quantity limits.
Management said that normalizes more toward branded drug norms in the first half of 2027, so investors watching margins on Jurnavx should expect some lumpiness for a few more quarters.
On profitability, non-GAAP EPS came in at $4.73, up 5% year-over-year. Gross margin was 85.6%, a slight step down from first quarter, which they attributed to product mix as Casgevy, which costs more to manufacture, becomes a bigger slice of revenue.
They raised full-year revenue guidance to $13.10-$13.20 billion, reiterating that $500 million-plus target for non-CF revenue this year.
Now let's talk about the big strategic move, the Crinetics Pharmaceuticals acquisition. This is roughly an $8.8 billion deal, expected to close in third quarter.
This is Vertex adding a fifth commercial pillar: rare endocrine diseases like acromegaly, CAH, and Cushing's syndrome. The two lead assets from Crinetics, paltusotine and atumelnant, are pegged at a combined peak sales opportunity of about $5 billion.
It's being funded through cash on hand, plus a $4.5 billion term loan, and management said it should become accretive to operating income in 2029. So this is a multi-year bet, not an immediate earnings boost.
Let's talk pipeline because there's a lot moving. The renal franchise is arguably the most important near-term catalyst. Povetacicept, or POVI, for IgA nephropathy, has an FDA decision date of November 30th after a really strong phase III interim analysis.
And on the call, Reshma Kewalramani, the CEO, made a pretty confident case for POVI's differentiation. She cited a 52% reduction in proteinuria, which she called numerically the best in class, plus once-monthly dosing via small-volume autoinjector patients can use at home.
There was also a great analyst question about how Vertex sees eGFR data compare against a competitor's recently published numbers. Reshma's answer was essentially, strong proteinuria reduction should translate to GFR stabilization, and Vertex believes POVI's numbers on proteinuria, hematuria, and other biomarkers set up well for that long-term endpoint.
Beyond IgAN, POVI is also advancing in membranous nephropathy. They picked their phase III dose after a DSMB review, and in myasthenia gravis, where Reshma was pretty bullish, calling out potential advantages on efficacy, safety, and dosing convenience versus competitors.
Then there's the CF franchise itself, which remains the core engine. Alyftrek crossed $1 billion in revenue in just the first half of the year, and management was clear that their bar for next-generation molecules like VX A28 is extremely high. They basically said any new drug has to beat Alyftrek's ability to get patients to carrier-level sweat chloride, or it's not worth advancing.
That's a notable discipline signal. They're not going to launch a good enough successor just to have a pipeline entry.
And in type 1 diabetes, there was genuine news. The FDA cleared the IND for VX-017, their universal donor type O islet cell therapy. Combined with the type A program, that roughly doubles their addressable population from about 60,000 to 120,000 patients.
Interesting subplot there. Reshma mentioned the earlier manufacturing pause on the type A program actually narrowed the timeline gap with type O, so they're now considering whether to bring type O to market first or nearly simultaneously. We should get more clarity on that later this year.
So stepping back, what does this all mean for investors? You've got a durable, growing CF-based funding and increasingly diversified pipeline, gene therapy, pain, renal, and now endocrine disease through Crinetics.
The near-term catalysts to watch are the POVI PDUFA date on November 30th, the Crinetics deal closing in third quarter with updated guidance to follow, and data readouts this fall and in early 2027 across inaxaplin, VX-407, and the DM1 program.
It's a company executing on a lot of fronts at once, which is exciting, but also means there's real execution risk across several launches simultaneously.
Before we wrap up, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
That's it for this breakdown of Vertex Pharmaceuticals' second quarter 2026. Plenty to watch heading into the back half of the year with the Crinetics close and that POVI decision on the horizon.
Thanks for listening to Beta Finch. We'll catch you next time.